This is an ABC podcast.
ABC Radio Australia. This is Fresh Off the Field. The sporting spirit of the Pacific.
Hola and welcome to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific. My name, if you don't know it, is Bobby McCumber. I'm here every week. I'm a proud Micronesian woman with a Kiribati heritage and I'm excited to once again talk about sports for the next hour. Now, the show wouldn't be complete without my two wonderful co-hosts from across the Pacific sharing the latest local sports news on the ground and in the islands. My first co-host, I have a breakfast radio host and reporter for the Solomon Islands Broadcasting Corporation, Cynthia Sader. Hello, Cynthia.
Hello, Olketa. Thanks for having me, Bobby.
Good to have you back. And speaking of being back, my second co-host is back again this week. After co-hosting last week, a massive thanks to former Nevan cricketer turned cricket commentator Melissa Farre for jumping in last minute. Hello, Melissa.
Hello, Bobby. How are you? And thanks for having me again today.
Of course. No, it's good to see you. And of course, you're based here in Adelaide, so I can see you looking at me right now. Cynthia, I see the Solomon's Iron Lady, Jen Lee Winnie, is heading to Auckland for more competitions. What does the future hold for Jen Lee? I thought she was retiring after the Pacific Games.
Well, I think she's more of a sports role model, so I guess she'll have to stay with the sports industry in Solomon Islands to keep her in the competition, you know?
I do love it, though. I love seeing her popping up multiple times since the Pacific Games, still dominating all around. And what, she's like 40 years old or something? She's pocket rocket. She's so strong. Melissa, now, I did say I have seen you last week. Has anything exciting happened since I saw you last week?
Anything apart at all? From all the uni stuff that I have to do, for anyone wondering what I'm doing in Adelaide, I am here for university. So that's my week's been so full with uni work, but I think the only exciting thing is I've been named as the captain for the Flinders University women's volleyball team that will be competing at State League this year. Season starts in 2 weeks. So, yeah, I've been named captain for that. But did not expect it, but, you know, I'm very happy to be playing volleyball, play a different sport considering cricket season's now finished. So, yeah, that'll be me over the next 6 months.
Ah, captain of the volleyball team. Can I ask with volleyball, just quickly, is it like, are there different positions? Like, are people spikers, setter-upperers, and whatever the technical terms are? What is your position?
Well, I'm a pass hitter, or some people call it outside hitter. Uh-huh. So my role is to hit the ball as hard as I can, but also to receive the ball and pass it properly and make sure that the setter gets a good pass and sets it to the attackers to attack. And then when I'm in front court, then I'm attacking as well. So, yeah, that's what I do.
Okay. So you make the attackers look good.
Yes. When I'm on the back court, I make the attackers look good. When I pass properly and the setter gets a good set for them, when I'm in front court, then I have to believe that the people at the back will make me look good and give me some good balls to hit too, you know.
Oh, it sounds similar when I played sport. I was in the back line and we did all the hard work and then the goal kickers got all the glory.
Yep.
Interesting. All right. Look, coming up on the show, we're not just going to talk about us. We have got round three of the NRL that kicks off this weekend. But this round is a special one for our Pacifica players.
Welcome to NRL Multicultural Round, a celebration of the rich cultural heritage of every player, fan, participant and staff member involved in rugby league.
Name one out. Is tackled 25 metres out. Griffin Neame plays it. Robson passes left for Dearden. Cut out to the edge. Holmes runs for a hole. Gets the pass to the wing. Sets Taulagi in the corner. Comes from Brayley across to Hines. Left hand side this time. Off again. Trindle to Talakai. To Molotalo, who slides in to score in the corner.
Last tackle. Comes to the left. Cleary. Straightens. Hit and spin to Luai. Luai spots half a gap. Running around in circles. Got a one-hander back. Here's a little crossfield kick from Yo, looking for Taruba. Finds Taruba. Did he get it down? Sunia Taruba. What a kick. What a catch. Panaka Wakalevo is over.
Oh, I love the enthusiasm of the commentators. It's coming into the business end of this competition.
Grace Batty. Marikaipu is making the run. Arriving. Still arriving. Goal. That has come out of nowhere. Christy Maneo makes it 2-0.
And another voice you might think is familiar, Indra Singh, one of the co-hosts here, commentating on the OFC Women's Championships. Look, we're going to give you the latest sports gossip from around the Pacific, plus loads more, so make sure you stick around.
ABC Radio Australia. You're listening to Fresh Off the Field. Uniting the Pacific through the universal language of sports.
Each week, my co-hosts and I will report on sports from across the Pacific, analysing and detailing all of the best bits in sport. But before we get to that, let's have some fun.
Coconut Wireless.
Coconut Wireless is where we discuss sports gossip that's happening in your country. You might have heard someone talking about this whilst you were fishing, or perhaps your neighbours with the national rugby coach, and you overheard something that perhaps you shouldn't have. We want to hear about it. It's not fact. It cannot be backed up. But these are rumours happening around sport in your country. Cynthia, what have you heard on the Coconut Wireless in the Solomons?
Yes, Bobby, thank you. Well, for the sports gossip that's been going around lately, for one of the local federations in the country, Chess Federation, they might have an opportunity to now compete in the chess upcoming Olympiad. This is the 45th Chess Olympiad that will be happening this year later on in Budapest, Hungary. Well, the Solomon Islands managed to compete only one time back in 2014 in Norway. That was before the COVID-19. And however, with the recent first ever involvement of more women in chess this year, 2024, this could mean an opportunity to participate in the upcoming International Chess Olympiad later this year. So, yeah, let's cross our fingers and hope for the best.
Ah, do you play chess yourself, Cynthia?
I've never played chess, but I do have an interest in playing chess.
I think, was it the Queen's Gambit that was on Netflix? It was very big all around the world. So I started to play a bit of chess after watching that. But I wouldn't say that I'm ready for any world championships. But that's good. That's exciting. Hopefully we'll see the Solomons back in those world championships. What else have you heard on the Coconut Wireless, Cynthia?
Okay, and apart from that one, Solomon Islands women in football might improve by moving up their points for the FIFA ranking in the future. Only time will tell, though. But since the COVID-19, Solomon Islands have seen more development on women in football in Solomon Islands, and this year have been the most improved year so far with women football, with Solomon Islands being the big movers in the FIFA Women's World Rankings following their runner-up finish at the Women's Olympic Football Tournament Oceania Qualifier in Samoa last month. So, yeah, they might look forward to climb more places with more development in sports for women football in Solomon Islands, yeah.
Do you know where they stand in the world rankings at the moment?
So the latest official FIFA women rankings have seen the Solomon Islands climb 21 places to 81 and ranked fourth in Oceania behind New Zealand, who have moved up two spots to 28, and Papua New Guinea 56, Fiji 72.
Oh, that's incredible. I'm just looking at some results from previously. I think it was 131 the Solomons were, so up to 80-something. That's brilliant. And they are doing very well at the moment with their football, so great to hear. Melissa, what have you heard on the Coconut Wireless in Vanuatu?
Bobby, it looks like football is the trend for gossip at the moment around the Pacific, but Vanuatu. On the Coconut Wireless, I heard that the Vanuatu Football Federation might be in a little bit of trouble with the general public. Football is a national sport, but they might be in a bit of hot water at the moment, allegedly, with the public and also with their sponsors for a lack of publicity on social media. We know the power of social media in the Pacific, and that's where I get all my news as well. So I was also a little bit disappointed with them last week after I was here. They had the Obamacare, the ABM. If you go to Vanuatu, Obamacare is the biggest supermarket, the only supermarket that you can shop at. They had the 50th anniversary cup, and after the finals, apparently, allegedly, no one from Vanuatu Football Federation was there to take photos and to put up an actual social media post. So they use a very, very blurry, pixelated photo on social media, which I also saw. And no mention of sponsors, no thank yous, nothing. It was pretty disappointing, and the general public took that and ran with it on social media. So now the gossip is that Vanuatu Football Federation is in a little bit of trouble, especially with their sponsors. But the gossip around that has been happening for a while now. But look, as Cynthia said, only time will tell what happens with Vanuatu Football Federation. But this is just a reminder that social media is so big in the Pacific and things like that just spread so quickly. But yeah.
Interesting that they aren't posting on social media, but they're getting slammed on social media. Do you think they know that they're getting slammed, or they're not looking?
They know they are getting slammed on social media. They will read every single post in the groups, in the biggest groups, but individual ones, they know that they are getting slammed.
Yeah. It does make a difference when you can just post and just show and let everyone know what is happening, and it's all in real time as well. So hopefully Vanuatu Football Association can get onto it. Just take a photo on your phone, post it up, let people know what is happening there. All right, well, thanks for that gossip, Cynthia and Melissa. That was
Coconut Wireless.
All right, it is time to find out what is happening in sport across our islands. Cynthia, we'll start with you. What are some of the local sport highlights happening in the Solomons?
Some of the interesting sports activities that's been happening in Solomon Islands. Recently, the Solomon Islands Basketball Federation, SIBF, has restarted trainings for the men's national team this week on Monday. The training started with a two-week training camp for the men's national team, and the program happened at the Solomon Islands National Institute of Sports, CINIS. According to the CIF president, according to the Solomon Islands Basketball Federation President William Lai, he expressed that this commencement of the training is a training initiative that will definitely had him involved and interacted face-to-face with more of the players locally based in the country. And he also said to the team during his address to them, he outlined the objectives and aspirations for the training camp and beyond, saying that their success depends heavily on players' commitment to improve and also the Federation's ability to secure funding for overseas training camps. But he highlighted the team's potential and he emphasized that Solomon Islands Basketball Federation executive will do everything in its power to, you know, help the team reach its full potential by the time they compete in other competitions later on this year. But the two-week training camp includes not only basketball drills, but also it incorporates other team-building exercises and activities that will help develop the basketball players. And this coming Sunday, the Solomon Islands Basketball Federation and the men's team are looking forward to participate in a church activity that is a church service at the St. Barnabas Cathedral here in Honiara, followed by a beach barbecue. So, yeah, definitely will help the team, you know, get to know each other and interact with each other. So that's some of the interesting stuff that's been happening in Solomon Islands sports.
It does make a big difference. I played sport all my life. Having those team bonding things, like having it at the church, then having the beach barbecue afterwards. How important do you think that is, just the team bonding, for people to be able to play better on the field, Cynthia?
So, you know, like getting the development of athletes, basically the basketball team is not only by sporting activities on the field, but it's basically spirituality and also their mental well-being. So I guess the Federation is probably looking into ways to, you know, just reach out to them in other areas that they see really important for their overall development.
Definitely. What are some of the other sports highlights happening in the Solomons, Cynthia?
So, interestingly, lately more platforms have been also created for women in Solomon Islands. After one of the National Sport Federation in Solomon Islands, the Chess Federation, recently held their first ever Women in Chess conference Sunday last week. And as I spoke with the Federation's president, Mr. Anthony Mailasi, he said the conference saw a good number of women and young girls who turned up for the conference, showing a passion and an interest in the game. He also says the recent conference was held purposely to raise awareness on chess and also to highlight that as a federation, part of the legal requirement here in Solomon Islands as a whole is every sports federation must also include women in their federation. So that is basically one of the main things that were being highlighted during the conference. But he also mentioned that among the discussions as well is the first ever training session for the women in chess that would be held later this week.
Oh, so it's all happening in chess. Good to get women involved in all different sports, including ones where you sit down. I do love those sports. What else do you have, Cynthia?
On that too, in other stories of sports here in the Solomon Islands, Solomon Islands Football Federation, SIF, and partners successfully ended a two-day women's football symposium at the SIF Academy this week on Wednesday, 20th of March, with a shared goal of promoting gender equality, preventing violence against women and girls, and, you know, just increasing knowledge on access to quality response services for its survivors. I spoke to the social responsibility manager for Solomon Islands Football Federation, Mrs. Maria Rarawa, and she said that this initiative is the very first of its kind to be held for Solomon Islands women in football.
We held this today's symposium. It's the Women's Football Symposium on Promoting Gender Equality, Preventing Violence Against Women and Girls, and Increasing Knowledge on Access to Quality Response Services for Survivors in Football. Our objective for this football symposium is to bring women in football, the clubs, administrators, executive level, even the staff of SIF, and SafeNet and the prevention sector to promote gender equality. It's about increasing knowledge and understanding of evidence-driven methodologies to prevent and respond to violence against women and girls, and increasing knowledge and access to quality response services for survivors in Solomon Islands, and in this case for our women and girls in football. It's a historic milestone made possible.
Why is this initiative very important for our women in football?
That's a very good question. It's very important for our women in football because we have a lot of conferences, we have a lot of workshops for women in general in Solomon Islands, but I have never cited having women in sports being part of these workshops, and this is how I sold the idea to our partners that women in sports, we also face domestic violence, we also face abuses, so we'd like these SafeNet people to come forth and use this platform as well so we could promote gender equality and helping our women to know the services provided for us to prevent violence against women and girls. Our expected results and overall takeaway for this one is increasing knowledge and understanding on gender equality and evidence-driven methodology. Also increasing knowledge about SafeNet services and referral pathways that are also available for our women and girls in football. And with that, we'd also like to have an outcome document highlighting recommendations and our next steps. And not only that, it's also the beginning of collaboration with our SafeNet people and our prevention sectors. It's a collaboration to have them use the football platform to also disseminate their information and awareness as a means of reaching our women in sport. And if I may add here, this is just football. I know for a fact we had more than 20 sports represented in the Pacific Games. I have also asked our partners if they can do the same for all sports, for all women in sports in this country as well.
The event brings together SIF's women in football organizations, stakeholders, clubs and players who all share a common drive to eliminate violence and promote a safe and inclusive environment through football.
Thank you for that interview, Cynthia. It's so important, you know, not just in sport but across the board. But I do love when sporting organisations do come together and really do push and promote gender equality through sports. So thank you for that, Cynthia. Melissa, what's been happening in sports around Vanuatu?
Sports in Vanuatu is actually picking up a lot over the last week, and this month, going into next month, will be quite busy as well. And I am very happy to be talking about rugby league today, Vanuatu Rugby League. They don't get a lot of time to talk about their sport, but it is a sport that, similar to basketball, as I talked about last week, is growing really, really fast, and it's getting a lot more interest. And Vanuatu Rugby League at the moment are running a mixed touch rugby tournament in Vanuatu, which for a sport like rugby, where it is very male dominated, played mostly by men, to have a mixed tournament like this is very important for the game. And the tournament started on the 9th of March, actually, earlier this month, and will continue until the 6th of April. Now, get this, the teams are the Roosters, the Broncos, the Sea Eagles, and the Rabbitohs. So these are the teams that are competing in the mixed touch rugby tournament in Vanuatu. So I'm very excited to watch the final if they are live streaming it on the 9th of 6th of April. I'm sorry, but I don't know who. Which team are you going for, Bobby?
Broncos. Yeah, I'm going to go for the Broncos.
Me too. But yeah, Vanuatu Rugby League have their schedule out. They are also running a Rugby Nines, their pre-season for their clubs as a club championship. And then their domestic season will start in April and then will continue into May. And then by June, they will be selecting they're making their selections. They have an emerging talent selection that they will be doing in June. And then also the selection for Pacific Trez, which will be they'll be doing as well in June. And then they will have a representative round after they make all these selections. That's in June as well. So they've got a very full schedule for them in the next couple of months, 4 months. Mm-hmm. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing what they do and how the tournaments go. But, yeah, go Broncos.
Go Broncos. I love it. The players can say that they might have played against the Rabbitohs. They represented the Broncos. Absolutely brilliant. Is there much crossover with athletes in Vanuatu, football being the main sport, but, you know, people playing rugby as well? Do you get a lot of locals that play multiple sports?
Yes. So, for example, like a few of our cricket girls have played cricket and then also play in the netball team, the national netball team. Some also play rugby league. A few of them were actually the first women to play in the first rugby league teams in Vanuatu. So yes, you'll get a lot of athletes, especially in Port Vila, who will play more than one sport. And sometimes it's a bit difficult because, not unlike Australia, where sports are in seasons and you can play one season, then play sport goes all year round, and every Saturday you'll have five different sports going. So it's sort of, you have to pick which sport you want to play on which Saturday. Mm. But yes, there is a lot of crossover between sports in Vanuatu.
Mm. Outside of rugby, any other local sports news happening in Vanuatu?
Well, it's mostly rugby. Rugby Union also have their tournaments going. So this week has just been packed with rugby, and football is going, but, you know, it is good to see that other sports are also taking up their space in Vanuatu. But there's a lot of other tournaments going, basketball, but I think that rugby happening is great, especially with this one. I just found the rugby league tournament pretty exciting.
I think that's last week you did report on multiple other sports. Yes. So, yes, good to hear that rugby is out there and doing its bit in Vanuatu. Great to hear about all the local sports that are happening across our Pacific Islands. So thank you, Cynthia and Melissa. Let's take it to sport across the Pacific now. Cynthia, this is on your home turf, but it is involving multiple teams from across the Pacific and it has moved around. What's happening with the OFC Women's Championships?
Well, here in the Solomon Islands, the OFC Women's Championships actually looking forward for the finals coming on Saturday this week. So that's a really major event where everyone in the Solomon Islands, especially in the capital, is looking forward to it and choosing sides on which team is going to win the OFC finals this coming weekend. So, yeah.
And who do you think is going to win, Cynthia? Be honest.
Well, I won't have to pick a side. I don't feel good picking a side now, but I guess I'm going to go with the teams that win.
Your tip is the team that wins. I love it.
Yeah.
So it's been quite a big culmination coming up to the finals. How are the players and locals been just about playing on that national stadium and making the most of that facility?
Well, you know, every some of the main events for the OFC actually happens in the National Stadium. So everyone's really excited to, you know, just sit comfortably in the stadium, watching the game and just being happy, feeling, you know, the vibe in the stadium. It's actually really, really good to see that a lot of young people have more interest after the Pacific Games to come out and watch, especially in terms of women football. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Good to see. I'm sure they'll get really big numbers. The National Stadium is an incredible facility. We were recording Fresh Off the Field live for 1 week and we were located just outside the National Stadium. I did watch the men's final, which was heartbreaking for the Souls, but still a wonderful game to go and watch. Melissa, let's go to you now. Beach Pro Tour, whereabouts is that happening and what does it involve?
Well, the Beach Pro Tour has been going on for 3 weeks now. It started earlier this month as well at the beginning of March in Mexico, but it is last week it was in New Zealand, if I'm correct. But this week it is in Queensland. It's now moved to gone to Queensland. So the Beach Pro Tour is basically a tour of beach volleyball around different locations with the best beach volleyballing teams and beach volleyballers competing in those tournaments. But this time in Queensland, it will be the Futures. So the Beach Pro tournament is split into three different levels. So you have the Elite 16s, which you have the top 16 teams in beach volleyball in the world competing. And then you have the Challenge, which is 24 teams per gender. And the teams that in the Challenge that feeds into the Elite, so it's sort of like a ranking system, and then you have the Futures where the 16 teams per gender will compete in that as well. And the Futures is for developing countries that are developing volleyball in their country. So the Futures will be in Queensland, and Vanuatu is competing in that. They have the playing in the first match there in Pool C. They will be playing against Australia in Pool C, but it will be from the 20th to the 24th of March. But yeah, that's what's happening with beach volleyball at the moment. So it's the Futures, the third level of the Beach Pro Tour. And Vanuatu have just competed in New Zealand, and now they are coming over to Queensland to play in that leg of the Beach Pro Tour.
We were talking about crossing over different sporting codes. Beach volleyball and regular volleyball, do they cross over or are they completely different skills?
They do cross over, mm-hmm. but because volleyball, indoor, outdoor, whichever you play, six-a-side volleyball is not very active at the moment in Vanuatu. I know that Vanuatu Volleyball Federation are trying to get it up and running properly again. There are tournaments that are happening indoors now that we have the indoor facilities for that. But there is a bit of crossover. Just at the moment, beach volleyball is the main type of volleyball that is played in Vanuatu in terms of competitively and internationally. So they have been playing just beach volleyball. But yes, there is also a crossover with volleyball when you play domestically and things like that.
I struggle to jump on flat concrete, let alone sand. I mean, it's game over. I bend my knees and I'll collapse. I used to play sport. I'm not very good anymore. Anyway, look, it is the NRL's multicultural round. It kicks off this weekend. So we're up to round three of the NRL. The central theme this year is stronger together. So it's recognising the competition's rich diversity and ability to unite cultures from all different backgrounds. I think it's a nice little reminder that we do have a large amount of cultures who participate in rugby, and we should not only celebrate each other, but we should respect one another both on and off the field. And I think, like I said, this is really important. The last couple of weeks we have been talking about an incident that happened in round one. I think this is a good way to bring everyone back together. And I've got some interesting stats about the NRL's current playing group across the competition. So in 2024, the playing group represents 63 different national heritages, which is incredible. I love it. The Pacifica heritage is almost half. So it's 48% of the players that is this year in 2024. And 12% of the players this year identify as Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander. In the NRLW competition, now that has recently expanded and that playing group represents 48 different national heritages. Exactly half. So 50% of the players in the NRLW, Pacifica. Love to see it. And there's 70% that identify as Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander. I do love, I know growing up playing a lot of sport, being based here in Australia, the numbers were nothing like this. It was, I would say, 5% of the people were not white in competitions that I were playing in. This is a very long time ago, but it's wonderful to see this game and celebrating multicultural round, as we should. It does kick off tonight, so the Penrith Panthers are taking on the Brisbane Broncos in a grand final rematch. Penrith Panthers, it's only been two rounds. They are sitting 10th, Brisbane Broncos are sitting 9th, and the Canberra Raiders are top of the table at the moment. But it's early days, so who knows what can happen. Who do you think is going to win, Melissa, Penrith Panthers or Brisbane Broncos?
Broncos.
Broncos. Okay. Are you a Broncos fan?
I am a huge Broncos fan.
Yeah, yep, I could tell. Cynthia, who would you... Now, you can't say the winning team. Pick one, Penrith Panthers or Brisbane Broncos. Who do you think is going to win?
I'm going to go for the Panthers.
Yes, good on you. Yes, I think we needed someone to change it up. We've got two Broncos fans here. Penrith Panthers, I mean, they won three in a row. This is nothing to them. No, it all means a lot. Let's move on. Cynthia, now the Cook Islands president of sport, why is he in the news?
Yeah, so the Oceania National Olympic Committee's ONOC recently congratulated Mr. Maitake Hugh Graham as the... for his enormous contributions in sports. He is the president of Cook Islands Sports, and he was recently awarded an International Volleyball Federation FIVB World Certificate of Recognition for his contributions to the sport of volleyball, both in the Cook Islands and worldwide. Well, this is a huge achievement for Mr. Graham, as the FIVB is the international governing body for all forms of volleyball. And just recently, many sporting organizations from the region took to their social media congratulating Mr. Maitake for this important achievement and acknowledging his various roles in sports. But he's also recently elected president 4 days ago during their annual general meeting in Hawaii, and they elected their board with the vice president also from the Cook Islands, Mr. Robert Graham. So that's a massive achievement for Cook Islands sports. Congratulations to the Cook Islands volleyball.
Yeah, absolutely. Nicolia Matera Rakula, is that? Oh, Matea Riki, one of the co-hosts. She will be very happy to hear the Cook Islands getting represented on the show, as always. Now, Melissa, we've spoken about the OFC Women's Championships. There's more OFC. What is it?
The under-19s men's qualifiers are coming up in Vanuatu in, from the 9th to the 15th of April, and that qualifier will, I think the winner of that qualifier will go to the OFC under-19s men's championship in Apia, Samoa in July. But Vanuatu will be hosting a qualifying tournament from the 9th to the 15th of April at... if you are in Port Vila, or if you are wanting to go and support football in Vanuatu, it will be at the Port Vila VFF Stadium, and it will be four teams competing: Vanuatu, American Samoa, Cook Islands, and Tonga, who will be playing in that qualifying tournament to try and get a spot in the OFC Men's Under-19 Championship. This tournament happens once every 2 years, and the winner for that, New Zealand is the current champion, the defending champion, so they will be going to Samoa to try and defend their title. But the winner of that tournament will be the representative of Oceania Football Confederation for the next 2 years, and will also compete in the Under 20 World Cup. So a lot at stake for countries that will be going to play, and I think a lot of Pacific countries will, other Pacific Island countries will be giving New Zealand a run for their money. Yes, that's what's happening with in OFC football in the Pacific at the moment.
Wonderful. Let's take it now. PNG Athletics recorded history was broken in Brisbane. This was last Thursday by a talented young gun, Aquila Tualum. Tualum ran the 3,000-metre steeplechase in 9 minutes, 22.06 seconds. He was breaking the late great record of John Kokinai, who ran 9 minutes, 25.8 seconds back in August 1971. So it was a very long record that he held. The PNG athlete has been in fine form lately with standout performances at the recent Pacific Games in Honiara. So you might be familiar with this name, Melissa and Cynthia. He not only won the steeplechase there, but he broke a 30-year record in the 1500 metres, becoming, get this, the first Papua New Guinean to run the metric mile in under 4 minutes. Under 4 minutes running 1,500 metres or a metric mile. How long do you think, Melissa, it would take you to run 1,500 metres?
Well, I did 1,500 metres in high school and it definitely did not take me under 4 minutes. Mm. I think I probably like 8 minutes or something.
Yeah.
It's my best time. We had some very good competitors, but I don't know, maybe 10 minutes. But definitely not under 4 minutes.
10 minutes. So he would have lapped you at a half, I think. how about you, Cynthia? You're probably familiar with Aquila. How long do you think it would take you to run 1,500 metres?
I would say 6 minutes.
Six minutes? Damn! Cynthia, you little runner, you. Oh, I can't wait to say. I'm talking 16 minutes for me. But that's great. Look, as always, it's nice to hear about sport that is happening across our island. So thank you very much to Cynthia and Melissa.
Fresh off the field. The sporting pulse of the Pacific. ABC Radio Australia.
Raymer von Reike is the president of the Samoan Sailing Association, and after 10 Hansa boats were donated to the association, a new program will get underway to utilise these new boats whilst opening up the sport to people for the first time. I asked Raymer about this new program.
Going back a few years, in 2019, Samoa put their hand up to host the Pacific Games because I don't know if you can recall, but it was supposed to be hosted by Tonga, but at very last minute, Tonga decided they couldn't afford to host it. So they put out a plea to Oceania as to who could host the Pacific Games, and Samoa put their hand up because Samoa was still quite well equipped from the games previous to that, which we'd hosted. In 2009, I think it was. And so we have all the facilities set up and everything, you know, still works pretty good. So Samoa put up their hand. So we hosted for the second time. And because I've been involved in sailing in Samoa for quite a number of years, over 20 years, I've been sort of coaching sailing. We decided as our sailing group that maybe we should try to offer something a little bit more than just the normal sailing classes of boats that were always offered to Pacific Games sailors. So we got together with Australia and New Zealand Sailability and we said, what are the chances of us hosting Sailability or disabled sailing for disabled sailors in the 2019 Games? And we got a very positive response back, and New Zealand offered to help, and they said that they could get some boats over to Samoa to loan for the games, and we would do set an example to Oceania of offering disabled sailing.
Did you get many Samoans participating in this Sailability program?
We had two sailors. Two of our sailors took part, and we actually got a bronze medal.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, it was actually pretty good. But the whole exercise was basically to offer disabled sailing and to introduce something new that Oceania has never been done in Oceania before. So there was a lot of work involved, and we had a lot of really good people come on board to help to organise it all. And it was actually really, really good because, as you know, now the whole world over, there is an emphasis on disabled, you know, including inclusivity and also, you know, getting more females involved with sports. So it was actually a really good time to do this, and it actually went down really well. I'm not so sure how it stands with Oceania and other islands, if they've sort of encouraged them to do disabled sailing, but it certainly was a platform for us. And from then, we're actually moving forward. We've actually got a little group of boats, and which is what I want to talk to you about today, of what our plans are this year.
Wonderful. when you speak of, you know, the people that are able to compete now, people with a disability are able to compete, participate in sailing, what are some of the impacts that you've noticed with them being involved in the program?
Well, it's also relatively new for us because it's taken, well, with COVID and everything else happening, there was a big delay in getting organised. But from 2019 until last year, it's taken us that long to organise the boats. But through Australia's assistance and New Zealand, several yacht clubs around Australia got together and donated boats to the Samoa Sailability, and they managed to come up with 10 small keel boats, which are called a Hansa. They're like a special boat designed for people with disabilities because they've got like a weighted ballasted centerboard, so they're almost impossible to capsize, but you do need deep water to sail them in. So they've come up with these 10 boats, and it's taken us a while to get them to Samoa, but we've actually got them now. And they're in storage, and our plan is this year to try and set up a little club based around these 10 boats, you know, to offer disabled sailing. So it's all new. We haven't actually done it yet, but this is sort of the plan, is to get it going. We've had positive responses from World Sailing, which is our mother body for sailing, and they said they would support us in sending us people to train, you know, coaches and instructors on how to instruct disabled sailing, because it's not really something that's as simple really as just regular sailing. But you know, there's a safety factor. It has a very high safety factor because you're dealing with people that can't sort of move as quickly or have as quick reflexes as you know, able-bodied people. So yeah, there's a lot to take in, but it's all new, and we're very excited about it because it's offering something to another level of sailing that, you know, no one else in Oceania is doing.
Incredible work, an initiative by yourselves. You speak of the 10 Hansa boats that were donated for the program. What is the cost of one of those boats? Do you know?
Well, all these boats are secondhand. And as I said, they were donated from different clubs around Australia. There was a few people, maybe 10 people involved in this whole process of getting the boats to one central location. And then they all looked at the boats, and some of them needed quite a little bit of work. So they offered at their expense to refurbish the boats. So that was all carried out, which took probably about a year. So the boats, once we've received them now, are all in really good condition, even though they're secondhand. I would say probably the value of them, you're probably looking at about maybe up to $1,000 Australian for a well-equipped boat with good sails and, you know, that's been refurbished. And these ones, they actually sent us brand new sails as well. So they're actually ready to go, almost like a new boat. So I would say in excess of 10,000 Australian value. And then we had a couple of companies that came on board and paid for the containers to be shipped over to Samoa. So the only other expense we had was the local expense, you know, like the moving of the containers, like the wharfage and that sort of thing, which we managed to pay. And we also got assistance from New Zealand High Commission in Samoa, who helped us to purchase a floating pontoon that you just sort of block, you know, blocks that you piece together and put out on the water so that people could actually walk out in order to get into the boats, because obviously person with a you know, physical disability is not able to jump into a boat like a, you know, an able-bodied person can. You know, to get onto a sailing boat is not that easy if you're not very sort of flexible.
Yeah, oh, I can imagine. It sounds like a lot of people have come together to make this program possible. Raima, if someone's listening and wants to get involved, how can they go about it?
Oh, we would welcome any assistance. I mean, we have still got quite a lot to do, Bobby. We're still going to try and get funds together to get a safety boat, because obviously that's very important. When you've got people on the water, you need to have, you know, a support boat to follow them around just to make sure everything's safe. So we're still, that's sort of our plan this year, is to do some fundraising and try and get a safety boat. We'll also be happy for people to get involved. I mean, if people want to come to Samoa and help out, you know, we could maybe organize host families that could host them to look after them while they're there, if they're going to help us to set up this program. We're still looking for a home for the Hansa Sailing Club, because obviously you need deep water, because you've got a centreboard that goes into the boat, and it's a weighted centreboard. So it goes in maybe 1.2 meters into the water. So you can't really sail these boats in shallow water. And as you know, a lot of the islands are inside the lagoon. So, you know, when the tide goes out, there's not a lot of depth. So we need a home to have a place where we can sail from that's deep water most of the time, and not sort of tidal. So we're not relying on, you know, high tides to go sailing. We can just sort of offer sailing at any time of the day, or any, you know, on the weekends or when people are available.
Raymer, it sounds like an incredible program, and still needs, you know, a little bit of assistance to get it up and going, but well worth it. Raymer von Reike, the president of the Samoan Sailing Association, talking about the Samoan Sailability Program that is developing in Samoa. Whaafetai lava for all of your time today, and good luck with the program.
Okay, thank you very much. Whaafetai lava, ia mangwele aso, whaafetai fua.
A wonderful initiative by the Samoan Sailing Association, and I look forward to hearing about the sailability program down the track. All right, before we finish up, it's time to get to know my co-hosts and I a little bit more. It's time for our next segment.
Yamanstapwe.
I love this. It's a lot of fun. Giyaman Stapwe is, of course, Tok Pisin for Pick the Lie. Each co-host will tell us three things about themselves. Two will be true and one will be a lie. And the other two co-hosts will try to Giyaman Stapwe. Cynthia, we're going to start with you. Three things about yourself. Two true, one lie. Off you go.
Okay, so I came from two different provinces in the Solomon Islands. I spoke five different languages. I was bitten by a centipede when I was little.
All right. So you are from two different provinces in the Solomons. You can speak five different languages. Wowee, that's true. And you were bitten by a centipede as a child. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Centipede. Oh, I tell you, I woke up when I was in Cynthia. Melissa, what do you think the lie is? Two provinces she's from, she can speak five languages, or she was bitten by a centipede?
Oh, look, all three are very, very common in the Pacific and Pacific Islands. But I think, Cynthia, if you have never been bitten by a centipede, you are very lucky. So I think that's true. I also think, you know, it's very likely that she's come from two provinces. So I also think that's true. And I think the lie is the five languages also. That is, can also be very true for a lot of Pacific Islanders. But I think that's the lie.
I like what you've done and how you have broken it down. Because I'm looking, now that you've said that, I think of my mum. And she was from two different provinces in Kiribati. She was also bitten by a centipede like many people. But she didn't speak five languages. I'm going with Melissa. I'm going to lock it in, Cynthia. You do not speak five languages. What is the lie?
Okay, so I came from two different provinces in the Solomon Islands, namely Malaita and Temotu province in the Eastern Solomon Islands. I spoke five different languages and I was never bitten by a centipede when I was little.
So you are lucky, Cynthia.
I got the two of you.
You did. Oh, can I ask, what are the five languages that you speak?
So the five languages, the other one is actually, most of them mostly come from Malaita province, but in Malaita province, like, there are different languages that are spoken. So I speak the Kwara Ai language, the Bilele language and the Lao language. And the other two is one Pidgin. And then my Santa Cruz dialect is actually called Natungu in where I come from in the Eastern Solomon Islands, Temuru province. So, yeah.
Wow. That is incredible. Well done. I mean, five languages. That's insane. And you also got Melissa and I. God. I loved your reasoning, though, Melissa. Yeah. All right, Melissa, your turn. Two truths and one lie. Off you go.
Okay. This is based around my engagement with celebrities, sports or non-sport celebrities. But the first one is I have left a celebrity, specifically a singer, on scene. They messaged me and I left them on scene.
Unseen, so they haven't...
Like, I left them on scene. I opened the message and I never replied.
Oh, okay, yeah.
The second one is I have met Johan Blake, the Jamaican sprinter. The third one is that I saw Will Smith when he came over to Vanuatu in 2019 to film his Welcome to Earth series.
Can I ask the celebrity that you left on scene on social media, can I ask who that was? Or is it,
sure.
Yeah, give it to me.
That's Joss Stone.
Joss Stone, who did a tour of the islands because she was in Kiribati. Okay. Cynthia, what do you think is the lie? So she left Joss Stone on scene. Can you explain what that means again, sorry?
So she messaged me and I opened the message and I never replied.
Oh, my God, to Joss Stone. God. Johan Blake, you've
yes.
met.
Yes.
And you've also met Will Smith when he was in Vanuatu filming.
Yes.
Okay. Cynthia, what do you think the lie is?
So I think I'm going to go for Will Smith. I guess he's just in Fiji for the shooting, I guess. So probably that is the lie that I'm going to go for.
Right. I feel like, and I might have heard you say this off air, but I feel like that Joss Stone, yes, because I love her. I think she's an incredible vocalist, singer. That's true. Johan Blake or Will Smith? I think Will Smith, but I don't want to go with Cynthia and then lose again. But might not be Cynthia. Okay, Will Smith.
That is correct.
But yes!
But Will Smith did come to Vanuatu.
Ah.
And I had every opportunity to go and meet him. But I did not. He was there in 2019. He went to Tana, went up to the volcano to film part of a series. But, I've not met Will Smith. There's a cover bar in Nakamal named after Will Smith. There's a Will Smith cover bar in Tana, so everybody goes there. It's a celebrity cover bar.
Really?
But I have not met him.
Oh, there you go. Okay. All right. So Cynthia and I got that one. All right, here's my one. So which of these is a lie? My middle name is Enid. That was named after my grandmother on my dad's side. So my middle name is Enid. My middle name is Dedawa. That's named after my Ikitabas mother. My confirmation name is Teresia, named after my auntie. So one of those is a lie. So is it my middle name is Enid, my middle name is Dedawa, my confirmation name is Teresia? Oh, I think I've kind of half given it away. Cynthia, what do you think the lie is?
So I think that the last one would probably true, and the second one is also true. But the first one, I think I might go for the first one as the lie. Yeah.
Okay, so Enid, very old. I'm thinking of Enid Blyton, who is an author. And my dad's mother was an old white woman. Enid, you think that's a lie? What do you think, Melissa?
I think the third one.
It's my confirmation name is Teresia.
Yes.
Okay. So, Teresia is my confirmation name, named after my auntie. Enid is my middle name, would you believe? So my middle name is not the Dawab. That is named after my mother. So I got you both there. I win. Two to me, but thank you very much for playing. A lot of fun. That does bring us to the end of the show, though. So a big thank you to my co-host, Cynthia Sader. Cynthia Sader, breakfast radio host and reporter for the Solomon Islands Broadcasting Corporation. Thank you, Cynthia.
Thank you so much, Bobby, for having me again.
Of course, and Melissa Fare, former Ni Vanuatu cricketer turned cricket commentator, here for 2 weeks in a row. Thank you, Mel.
Thanks. Thank you. Thanks, Bobby, for having me today.
And thanks to our producer, Nellie Moa. Thanks, Nellie. Thank you for listening to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific on ABC Radio Australia. I'll be back next week with two new co-hosts, or maybe Mel Farah again, who knows, from across the Pacific, talking all things sport in our region. This episode was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people.
This program has been funded by the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade.